All right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are once again talking more Big Brother 22. That's right. Dom, how are you now that we are back in the Big Brother game for real?
I'm doing great. I wasn't expecting to be back in the Big Brother game at all, and I was expecting even less to be this excited about it. Even though the premiere itself was a damp squib, they did their best to suppress any enthusiasm for what could be a fantastic season. The cast still found a way to shine through, and so even with production working against them, I'm optimistic that they can deliver a good season by the end.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say this in front of a live microphone, but at this point, I feel like the cast is good enough that various production shortcomings will not necessarily get in the way to the extent that it normally does. But Dom, enough about that for the time being. We are here today to draft this cast of All-Stars. We are back for yet another auction draft, something we've been doing for many years at this point. And joining us for the occasion is a great friend of the podcast, someone who has been with us for many of these auctions. It is our old friend, Kaz. Kaz, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here. Is this the part where I talk, or do I give you 4 minutes of circus music before I start it?
Yeah, well, where were you on the premiere itself? Were you feeling like Dom and me, perhaps, that it was underwhelming a bit?
I think that's maybe even an understatement. So I have not watched Big Brother since Derek won, and this was really my first full episode, and I watched it with my wife, who's never seen an episode of Big Brother, and 20 minutes in, we looked at each other and said, this is absolutely horrendous. And my wife said it sounded like a high school play, which I think was pretty on point. I mean, just comically bad in terms of production. I don't understand why Julie wasn't talking during the episode rather than just having minutes of continued silence. But other than that, it was fantastic, right?
Get Jeff Probst in there to yell us through that challenge.
Yeah, some would say Julie Chen Moonves was talking a little bit too much during that episode, practicing her type five, just firing off some jokes that didn't really land, and then firing them off again to see if they would land the second time, and they didn't. And it was very amateurish from start to finish.
Yeah, I think we have to look at it as, I think we're all upset with Jeff Probst right now, but these kinds of things really make me appreciate his hosting ability, because the Chenbot was really in rare form, even for herself last night.
Yes, well, I am hopeful that the episodes to come are going to be a bit more exciting. I was actually talking to a friend of mine earlier today about the prospect of getting into Big Brother, and I told him that the premiere aired last night, and I said, you know what, go ahead and just skip that, and let's start with whenever the game is actually underway. I don't want to turn him off from the franchise with that, but still very much looking forward to this season. The cast is way beyond what I would have ever anticipated if you had told me a month ago that there was actually going to be another Big Brother All-Star season. And Dom and I were in here maybe sometime in the last week or two talking through the rumored names at the time. Some, for the most part, they were accurate. Plenty in there that did not end up making the cut. But Kaz, before we dive into this auction draft, I would love to hear from you your reaction whenever it finally registered as, despite every summer seeming to produce some sort of speculation about an All-Star season, it looks like this is actually going to happen.
It was really surprising at first, but then I think when you start thinking through just the logistics of what it takes to run a season like this and the people you have to get, COVID-19 really is like the perfect scenario for this to happen. You have known quantities. You have people that already are familiar with the house and sort of the rules that come with being on television. So I was really pleased to see that it was in the works. And I think it's the perfect time for it. And really, when there's not much else on TV, it is the perfect time for it, because this might be the only way you could get me to watch a season of Big Brother right now.
I was thinking about just how optimal this timing is in terms of kind of revitalizing the franchise, perhaps, when there has probably never been, potentially at least, a more captive audience for people just craving some sort of new form of entertainment, some sort of it's obviously not sports, but kind of close to that, some sort of competition with a result that they can watch in real time. I think people have never been more desperate for that sort of thing.
Do you guys think this will revitalize the franchise, though? I mean, obviously it could if it goes in a good direction, but it also strikes me as the kind of thing that could really tank it if an all-star season at this time goes really poorly. I could see them only doing one or two more seasons of this show. I mean, I'm sure it's cheap to produce, but if their ratings aren't significantly better during this time, when are they ever going to be better?
I don't know if they need to be that much better. I think once they reach their floor, as long as that floor is high enough, then they're happy to just keep on trucking. I think the show is very cheap to produce compared to basically any other form of TV that CBS is going to be putting out there. So I think as long as Big Brother doesn't crash through its own floor, then it's going to remain in presence on our screens or maybe other people's screens for the foreseeable future. I have to think there are people who maybe are checking out Big Brother for the first time in quarantine. And after that premiere, I'm not sure if they're going to be checking it out anymore. I'm not sure we're raising the floor on the Big Brother viewership here. Maybe your wife with you urging her on will come back in for a second episode. I don't know how many other people will if this is their first taste of Big Brother and the game structure itself, it seems the way it came across in that episode, and the competition design and hosting seems so amateurish, and they have no idea who these people are, so there's no reason to be excited by them. I don't know if this is the best way to introduce someone to Big Brother, but for the people who have been anticipating this idea for years, maybe even over a decade now, I think just seeing these combinations of people, you know, seeing people like Janelle and Kesa and Ian and just all these random favorites from the past 15 years was enough to keep them excited regardless of anything else that was going on.
Yeah, and it was enough to pull all three of us back in, so I guess they are doing something right in that respect.
For now. I reserve the right to bail on the season at any time, holding that card in reserve for the time being.
Well, so yes, let me be very clear as well. I also reserve the right to re-bail at any time, but at this point, as I said already, I am very invested in this season. I personally, at least, love the vast majority of the cast with whom I was familiar entering the house here. Dom, let me ask you, and then I certainly would love to hear from Koss on this as well. We did our last podcast on this not knowing what the final cast was actually going to be. Ultimately, are you as happy as I frankly am with the non-obvious people like the Ians and Kesers and Janelles and Danny Donatos, however you would want to describe them, the remainder of the people in the cast? I feel like we got a very solidly above average draw there. What did you think?
I think this cast is, I don't think it's top heavy. You certainly do have some big hitters in there. We didn't quite get the Dans and Derek's and Daniel Reyes's of the world back in, but we have a solid cast, I think, from top to bottom. The only real duds, I would say, are Christmas, who I think was a late addition to the cast after Josh and Casey were unceremoniously expelled, presumably for testing positive for COVID. Josh maintains that that's not the case, but then I kind of feel like that's the best explanation at this point, because if you were going to be on the show and you were kicked off for some other reason, then speculation abounds as to what that might be. But in any case, Christmas seems like a late addition to the cast, along with Memphis, I believe, only called a few days before going into sequester. So a big pickup there. Loving what I've seen of Dad Memphis so far. Excited to see how that one develops. But I would say the only duds would be Christmas. David, who, even though I love the idea of having someone who is in there effectively as a newbie in an all-star cast, I don't know if David is the right person to fulfill the potential of that character. He doesn't seem to be really engaged with it so far. And then a lot of the people from the most recent seasons, I only know through what the online dialogue is about them. So I know that all the debates about whether Tyler was robbed or not, I have no opinion on that because I'm just not qualified to have one, didn't see the season. And likewise, Bailey, all I know is the clip of her yelling at Tyler and then also escapades on the challenge and so on. But both of them seem to be doing perfectly well for themselves so far. So I like this cast. It's a good cast. I think if you had to sketch out your ideal All-Stars 2 cast across the years, then there would be some names on it that aren't in the actual cast. But given what they had to work with, given the conditions and everything else, I think they did a good job on the casting front.
Yeah, I think the way I would put it is, like, I don't think Kevin Campbell or Keisha or Enzo would have been the first names that would have come to mind for me if you had asked me who I thought would be on an All-Star season in the year 2020, but they're much better than the names that would come to mind for me, I would say. Yeah, Kaz, where were you on the rest of the cast here?
Yeah, I'm happy overall. I think I don't know six of these 16 people in terms of seeing them play a game of Big Brother. Somebody like Davon, obviously, I've heard her name significantly throughout the years from listening to you guys' podcast about the challenge and whatever else. But, you know, overall, I think it's a good cast. It's not like a Winners at War Survivor kind of cast. And I think that's probably a good thing where we're not going to be overly disappointed. I think if any of these people win, we're going to have a good winner. But this is not like the crowning achievement where the winner of this season is automatically the best player of all time. So it's kind of got more of a Survivor Game Changers feel to me. And I like that. I think it's a perfect time for sort of a middling all-star cast like this. The one complaint I have, though, is I'm a little bit disappointed if they were going to put winners in that they only put two in. It would have been nice to see like a Hayden Moss or an Andy Heron in there, even if they couldn't get Dan or Derek. So that's the one thing that I think is a little strange. Not to get too much into this now before we're going to auction, but I do worry a little bit that the winners will be unfairly targeted simply because there are so few of them. But overall, I think it's a great cast. Like you said, Kevin Campbell, again, somebody I never thought I would see on TV again. Even Kacer, you know, I would not have guessed that 15 years later he'd be looking to come back on the show, but I'm excited to see these people play again. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Twice as many former winners as the first All-Star cast, just for the record. It's a fun stat for you guys out there. So what we are finally going to get into now is the auction draft. The way this works is each of us is going to take a turn nominating one of the 16 contestants here for an opening bid, and then we will kind of raise back and forth until one of us is the high bidder, and they will get that player at whatever cost that ends up being after we have gotten through all 17 items. What? There are only 16 players. More on that momentarily. Once we have all 17 items off the board, we will see how the season plays out. Whoever ends up with the eventual winner on their team will get the entire pot, whatever the total cash amount spent ends up being. So should hopefully be pretty easy and self-explanatory if I did a bad job setting it up at the top. The last time we did this was our Survivor Winners at War draft with Dominic Abate, of course, from Survivor Ghost Island. Unfortunately, all of us ended up Venmoing him because he won that one. So among the three of us, I am still the defending champion here. And with that in mind, I am not even going to pretend this time to ask who wants to nominate where. I am going to put out the opening item up for bids, and then just because this is the order that we are listed on the Excel spreadsheet in front of me that I'm going to use to keep track of everything, Kaz, I'm going to have you go second, and Dom, you are going to go third, but nomination order doesn't matter a whole lot. There's no salary cap, and essentially the way an auction works is, unlike a typical snake draft where you just get your set pick number and the person or people you want just may not be available to you by the time it's your turn to pick, in an auction you can get whoever you want if you're willing to pay enough. So a lot of fun every time. So I think, guys, let's dive in, unless either of you has any questions or things you think are worth flagging up before we begin.
Let's do it.
Well, I do just want to say, Colin reached out to me with this idea and said to me, no research allowed. So I want to put this out there beforehand. For the first time in my life, I'm coming into one of these as a true casual, and I'm really excited about that prospect. So I assume I'm going to make a lot of really stupid bids based on the 30 seconds I saw of each of these people. So putting that out there now, feel free to call me a moron for the first time. I think it's really, truly justified.
The next time, I wish I had thought of this for this podcast, and I guess now it may not work because I'm revealing it to you before I've ever done it, but I should stipulate no research allowed, and then also somehow get in touch with Mark Zuckerberg or Jack from Twitter or whatever to kind of like incept the wrong ideas into your social media timelines over the course of the next week or whatever to get some really exciting bids out of you. But I think we should be good regardless. I think this should be a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. And just for the record, in case it hasn't been clear through context to this point, Kaz obviously has not been watching the show since BB16, and Dom and I are back into it for the first time in a couple of years. I have seen none of BB20 or 21, and I believe that is also the case for you, Dom.
I've seen the clips that people felt pertinent to share on Twitter, which is I got the edited highlights. I didn't have to sit through 20-something 40-minute episodes and hours of live feeds. I got the best bits. I really got the best of both worlds.
Okay. Oh, and the other thing I definitely should flag up because I teased it and then completely spaced. The 17th item up for bids. We have touched on this already in passing, but obviously there is quite a situation going on in the world, unlike anything that U.S. Big Brother has had to deal with before, although BB Can did have to deal with the early stages of COVID-19 and ultimately shut down production after, I think it was 17 days. And the 17th item up for bids, which will happen once the other 16 contestants are off the board, is no one. So we will be bidding on the rights to no one winning this season. There is no winner crowned by a jury or whatever other method. Something happens where the season gets shut down. So that should be a kind of interesting caveat there at the end. But I think without further ado at this point, let's get the auction underway here. I will lead things off with someone I think should be a pretty spicy kind of opening candidate here. I will nominate Danielle Donato for $5.
What are the increments here? Just remind
50
me.
50-cent increments. I'm sorry. Our typical 50-cent increments. Did you raise?
Oh, no. I was just asking a question.
Okay. $5 on Danny Donato. I'm not hearing raises. Is that a misinterpretation?
I think she's yours, my friend.
Kaz?
Yeah, she's yours.
Okay. Fine with me. $5 on Danny Donato. I thought there would potentially be some raises in there, and maybe in looking back at our BB18 auction that we did actually with BB22 contestant Ian Terry, the prices there were a lot lower than the prices I have in my memory of the auction we did with Dom Abate, where right off the bat we could get him in for $40 on Wendell and really boost up the prize pool. So Danielle Donato coming to me for $5. I feel like I've heard her name is one of the trendier winner picks, but I take it, Kaz, you are not feeling that way?
Yeah, I mean, it's not anything against her. I really like Danny. I think she's a solid, sort of unspectacular player. This is more me trying to gauge what the pool is going to look like, so I feel like I could end up regretting this. You know, I think she's got equity in this game, but I don't know that she's one of the ones that I am that interested in owning at this point. So I just wanted to let it go. But like I said, if our price pool ends up being $200 or $300, I think I'll regret this. But I do kind of feel like, I'm not a big Twitter reader. I really am going into this mostly blind. It doesn't surprise me that she's a trendy winner pick. That's kind of what I would have expected from fans. And I think they may just be overrating her a little bit in terms of her actual equity in this particular cast.
Okay, and Dom, why do you hate Danielle Donato?
I don't. I like Danielle Donato, but that is different from thinking that she has a good shot to win, and that's a difference that a lot of Big Brother fans could really avail themselves of heading into the season just to manage their own expectations. I think my concern with Danielle Donato is that she doesn't really have it in her to play nice with the people that she doesn't have time for. Like, we saw this her first time around in BB8, which you kind of expect for her as the bratty 20-year-old who's in the house with her father and so on, or in the house with someone else, as she put it in the premiere. You kind of expect that from her, but then we also saw another manifestation of it in BB13, where she was in a crushing position for so much of that game and threw it all away by not being able to, by her tongue, let Dominic go out and, you know, she could have straddled the fence between the newbies and the vets expertly, and she did for a few weeks, and then she just threw that away for love. And I mean, I guess ultimately she won on that front, so it's good for her. But I kind of think that that's inevitable for it to happen in some way, even if it's not her estranged father or her new husband to be in the house with her. I think she will always find a way to let that get the best of her. And judging from the early feed reports, as in the first, you know, day and change, it sounds like she is playing hard, playing fast, and Cody might not be responding to that so well. So I would like to see Danielle go well. I mean, I think she's good TV, and she's fun to watch. I do like her, but I don't think she has a good chance this season.
Dom, the rules about research could not have been more clear.
What, just reading my own Twitter timeline?
Yes, you should have been gone total blackout here just for auction integrity. No, I have always thought Danny has struck me as, for the most part, quite game savvy. If anything, I would say she may just be a little too eager to pull the trigger, but I do at least hope that her third time around, having seen how everything went down in BB13, she may be a little more willing to hang back. It sounds like perhaps not so much the case based on these early days, but still pretty long way to go here, I would say. Plenty of time left to recover, if she is even off to a rockier start here. So there goes Danielle for $5. And I will throw out there, just in case anyone is new to the podcast as a Big Brother person, and you know, we haven't been covering this for a little while, we are currently in the process of talking through Danielle's original season, Big Brother 8, over on the Patreon feed, which has been a ton of fun. We are through the first 6 weeks, about halfway through, probably at least 10 hours of that already. So patreon.com/DomandColin, if that would be something that would potentially interest you. We've also got BB10 and BB7 on there as well. So with that out of the way, Danielle is off the board. Kaz, it is over to you for a nomination here.
All right, let's go with the four-timer. Let's put up Janelle for a major opening bid of 50 cents.
Sold to the man in the back.
I will take Janelle for a dollar.
Okay. You do that for a dollar?
I do that for a dollar. That's right. Kaz, a re-raise incoming here?
No, I'm very thankful that I get to keep my two quarters. You are good at $1.
All right, I need to drastically rethink my projected costs here.
I don't think you do. I think we might have just put up two people that Dom and I had zero interest in.
Although, you do already have a solid 50% of the Twitter stands rooting for your roster. So from easily $6, that's a bargain.
Right. I just paid 50 cents to not be the enemy of an enormous number of people on social media.
Well, I guess when you put it that way, it all sounds worth it. But
yeah, well,
I won't ask you why you thought Janelle was such a bargain buy here. What are your prospects? What are her prospects, rather, do you think in this game? It sounds like you don't have high hopes for her.
So this is the thing. I am, on one hand, reluctant to say this yet again, as we still have 14 people to go through, but I say it pretty much every time we do these auctions, and they tend to go pretty well for me. I will take any of the people you guys view as like the scraps. I feel like anyone in these all-star seasons has equity. I agree that Janelle has a target on her the size of California and is perhaps now at the point where her competition prowess is not going to be what it needs to be to back it up the same way that it was back in the glory days in 05 and 06 or whatever. That is definitely a totally valid concern. At the same time, I don't know if her threat level is going to stay there. I think the iconic status of Janelle goes without saying to any of us seeing her back on this season and any people watching it at home. I do think, though, over the course of the summer, as these other 15 people in the house get to kind of familiarize themselves with just regular Janelle, the human being, that's going to potentially at least have outs to creep to the back of their mind to much more of an extent than it probably ever did on any of her previous seasons. And just given the sheer amount of luck involved in any season of Big Brother, I would take anyone here for a dollar, spoiler alert. So put all the 50-cent bids you want out there. I will keep gobbling them up.
My issue here is I think we have seen more of Janelle as a human being, as a player, than we have of anyone else in the history of Big Brother. I guess with the exception of Paul, who I believe played more days than she has. But we know what Janelle's deal is. We know what type of game she plays. And I feel like she reached her peak in her first few seasons and did and could only go downhill from there. Like the Janelle we saw on BB14 was a shadow of her former self. You know, a husk that was named Janelle, and you know, that was all on all of her Big Brother property, but bared no resemblance basically to the you know, the blonde bombshell that we saw dominate the competitions in her first few seasons, and you know, win the hearts of America. She just kind of flopped in that season, and I think she's on course to flop again this time, and I think that's very predictable. I think that her type of game, and I'm going to prompt a loud tirade from Colin here, so listeners, prepare yourselves. I think there's an element of Poverty Shallow in all of this, where I think to the extent that she is a good social player, it is in a way that relies so heavily on youth and charm and like being one of the cool kids, and she is a different person now. She's a 40-year-old mother of three, and she just doesn't have the same, you know, automatic seat at the table. She doesn't have the cool kids club card that she had by virtue of entitlement in BB6, BB7. So I think that Janelle's game in the past has mostly been reductive to competitions. You know, socially and strategically, she was a hot mess, even in her prime. I see no reason to believe that that's changed. And competition-wise, you know, she isn't the same person that she was 15 years ago. So I don't have high hopes for Janelle. Colin, yell at me. I'm ready.
I'm not even going to acknowledge the poverty thing. I'm not going to dignify that with any sort of earnest counterpoints there. I will state for the record that those are exclusively the takes of Dom Harvey. I stan Janelle, and you can follow me at Colin Stone if you would like to do so on Twitter. That would be I'm doing a lot of whoring early on in this podcast, I'm now realizing, but I guess what better way to be back in the Big Brother streets? But I obviously
no, it's good old whoring Stone over here. But,
yes.
No, can I count on you for support on this one?
So I'm not lying when I say I made notes for this. I put equity by everybody. I had Janelle at 1%, and the note I have next to her is the poverty of Big Brother. So, Colin, I'm sorry you can yell at me as well, but I 100% agree with Dom on this in the same way that I agree with him as a poverty truther. I think that they both have good elements to their games, but a lot of what we've seen from them has been fairly lucky and very clicky. So if you look at Janelle in BB6, she's on one side of the house versus the other in a season where there really is no overlap. In BB7, she's used as a meat shield by, you know, the former best alliance of all time. And then in BB14, she kind of doesn't really even show up. So I think, yes, her results are good. And yes, she was very good at competitions back in the day. But I kind of feel like all of that could fall apart. I had her pegged as a potential first boot. And again, I know I wasn't supposed to do any research, but I have been looking at Twitter occasionally, and I saw that she is one of the people that's been discussed as a possible nominee already. Doesn't surprise me at all. I think she's a very high likely candidate to be the first boot. And even if she isn't, she's always going to be a target. I mean, the fact that she's already being looked at as a target is a telltale sign, but you're never going to forget about her. And really going back to the most basic point that I think Colin was completely wrong on when he said, if Janelle gets in this house and makes good relationships with people, they'll like her. I think it's the opposite. I think the more that people interact with Janelle, the more likely they are to see their opinion of her just completely take a nosedive. Again, I don't really care about the Twitter flame people. You can flame me all you want. I think Janelle is an absolute bust. I think she'll be out in 2 or 3 weeks, and I think we'll never hear from her ever again. And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Breaking
so,
news. So this hold on. Breaking news. So Janelle is apparently safe. Someone else won the safety competition for this first week and gave the additional the token of life to Janelle. So she is officially Not the first boot of Big Brother All-Stars 2. So second boot, third boot still on the cards, but I guess we'll see how that one plays out.
Okay, so let me restate a couple of things just for the sincere record. I have not been like some sort of lifelong Janelle stan. I just don't want the people on Twitter coming after me. Putting forward that defense of Janelle was mostly just talking myself into the reasons why it would be okay or at least justifiable to spend $1 on her in this auction draft. I generally agree with you guys that it is not on the whole looking super promising for Janelle here, especially considering what was necessary for her to go deep in the seasons where that ended up happening for her. I now, though, hearing that she has won, or not even won, but been granted the Token of Life, which I think is an apt way of comparing it, Dom, with this first week of the safety competition, feel very good about spending this dollar on Janelle, just because we've seen so many times what can happen for the person who comes close to being evicted week one, but does one way or another manage to survive. Now, maybe Janelle is going to be one of the less likely players of all time to be able to slide under the radar for any length of time, but that at least leaves me somewhat optimistic, or more optimistic than I would have been 5 minutes ago.
Do we know who used that on, or who gave her the Token of Life?
Well, I do, but again, research is prohibited, so I'm sure neither of you will be informing yourselves about it.
Well, now I'm going to look it up, and you just blew an incredible opportunity to just lie and say with a straight face that it was someone conclusive, and we would have 100% believed you.
See, I would suck a Big Brother, clearly.
Oh my God, we got it. If I'm reading this right, it's Kacer, right?
Yes.
That is incredible. Janelle and Kacer win the first safety competition after it sounded to me like they were two of the front runners to be up on the block. Not that I was doing research. That is pretty incredible. And is there, we don't need to spend forever on this, but who's now looking like they might go up?
Unclear, as far as I can tell. And that's not me being cagey. I think they generally don't know. I think Danny Donato is in the mix there. So I guess, good job for Colin on that one, but I'd know. I think it is that move has really upset the board, and now Cody has to scramble to find some new names.
A couple of years ago, I did a fantasy football draft where I drafted a guy relatively early, and literally as we were in like the late rounds of the draft, he got released from the team and was never in the league again.
No parallels here, that's for sure. But
this strikes me, to make a poker analogy, it's like when you have, say, like the third best boat possible, and you get to the river and you get like 5 bet, and it's not that much more for you to call, and you talk yourself into, well, I only need like 6% equity for this to actually work out, and then you literally have 0% equity and you lose every single time you call. I think yes, it's only a dollar. Yes, she may have some non-zero equity, but I doubt it's much above zero. And I would say 100% of the equity for her comes from production interference.
Yes.
So maybe in that way it is a steal, actually.
That's more than 1% as far as I'm concerned. And just to clarify, my fantasy football league is an auction league as well. And it was like some handcuff got nominated early. I wasn't losing some third round pick because he got cut from the league. That's all right. I'm better at fantasy football than that, and everyone needs to know it. All right. So there goes Janelle. Dom, it is over to you.
All right, let's throw a cat among the patrons here, take a big name off the board. How do we feel about Ian Terry? I'll open the bidding at $5.
$8.
$10.
$11.
$11.50.
I'm waiting on Dom here.
What are you waiting on me for?
Oh, I meant to, yeah. The one additional note I meant to add before we got started is please place your bids in a timely fashion, because it is very bad for podcasting when it's just a bunch of dead air. Dominic.
Are you, what bid am I meant to be placing here?
All right, 12.
Okay, there it is.
$12.50. 1350.
I'll keep clicking it back. 14.
15.
Are we just going to keep going up 50 cents or a dollar?
Can we send the min raise here? I feel like just going up in 50 cents is, you know.
I just made it more than 50. I raised by a dollar.
I'll go 16.
I will go 18 on Ian Terry.
Give me 19.
I will go $22 on Ian Terry. Shout out Jinho.
I'm still waiting to see if Dom is going to do anything here.
I have position.
$22.
Going once. Going twice.
23.
Man, let me see who else is going to go for any over 20 numbers here, or who is likely to go for much at all. If other people are going for 5 and 1, it's at 23. I will pass on 23, just because it feels like Ian Terry would want me to do the math literate thing here. So I will at least bow out. Dom, are you slow playing here, or are you just uninterested?
Oh, I'm out. I'm good.
Okay. $23, Ian Terry, sold to you, Kaz. I would love to be able to claim that I was not interested past 12 and I was just running you up, but that is not the case at all. What makes you so interested in Ian's prospects here?
All right. Well, this is obviously a unique one. I'm with you. I think Ian might even look at this and go, well, hey, you're bidding up a little high, but I have to be honest. I told myself before this started, I was going to get Ian at any price. This was my Wendell moment, kind of like Dom had in our other draft. We were on here for BB14, and we did a season recap. I'm a huge Dan Gieseling fan. I think he's, you know, arguably the most talented person to ever be on reality TV. And I was very upset that Ian beat him. And, you know, I think I called him dumb or something like that, which was obviously ridiculous. And, you know, it was really neat after that to have Ian reach out to us and say, hey, guys, I think I'm kind of like you. I agree. I got super lucky. I'm one of you. And I've gotten to know Ian over the years. I don't want to make it sound like we're great friends or anything, but you know, I've gone to baseball games with Ian. We trade texts every now and then. He's a good guy, and I always felt like I kind of owed this to him, that if he came back, I've always said I thought he had a good chance when he came back, but especially now in this cast, this time, I'll happily flush whatever percentage equity I might be overbidding by here. I just wanted to have him on my team. So, Ian, when you listen to this 4 months from now, consider this a makeup for my past transgressions. But aside from that, I actually think that Ian really has a good chance of winning this season. I thought he had an even better chance when there were more winners in the mix. But even with two people in that were former winners, I still think he has a good chance to really get deep into this game and then run the table in competitions. There's been a lot of speculation that they may not be able to do as many physical competitions due to the COVID complications. So I think that works in his favor. I loved what he said on the broadcast last night about basically spending the first 2 months sleeping, which I think we all agree is the correct strategy, especially in a season like this. But on top of that, I think he's had enough time away from the game that he's going to not have a huge target on his back, especially since he's laying low and sleeping for a few weeks. I think he's a different person now than when he was in the house originally. And from getting to know him on a personal level, I can tell you, he is a very nice, normal guy who, you know, has his quirks, but really is a very likable individual, very wise, very patient. And I really think that if you're looking at a guy who can figure out every angle of this game, figure out all the hacks, figure out how to deal with every random twist you know they're going to throw in, Ian is definitely the guy. Even though he may not have been watching the show for the last couple of years, you know he's going to have researched this to death coming in. So I have all the faith in the world that he's going to come in here, make correct decisions, and really just do the right thing at every point. And when he was asked last night what's one word that would describe what you need to win this game? I think all three of us in unison, before he said it, said Ian's going to say luck. And that's the mindset that I love having from a guy who's on my team. So maybe it's an overbid, maybe it's not. I don't really care. I think Ian has a great chance of winning in this game. And I've never rooted harder for a contestant on a TV show in my life. It's the first time that I've actually known somebody personally on a serious level who's been on one of these shows. So I'm really rooting hard for him. The second he's out, I'm probably quitting this season. But for as long as he's there, which might be until the end, he's my guy. Go Ian.
Yes, he is, for the official record, the first Dom and Colin patron to appear on a reality TV season now. And actually, I knew this had come up recently and was inspired to go and find it in our BB8 Week 1 podcast. I saw, or it was tweeted to me, I will pull up my Twitter to credit the person who said this my way. Ian is in fact in there wearing the Dolphin Crash t-shirt that we had talked about as recently as a couple of months ago. I actually want to roll the clip of this because this is wild to me. As Kaz laid out, we've known Ian since his first season, and this wardrobe thing is something we have talked about for a long, long time. I loved, by the way, that he was in there at the beginning wearing the exact same outfit that he wore on finale night, that he left the house a winner in, his signature Oxford shirt and khakis. This tweet was sent to me, by the way, from Matthew Martin at MashMartin92. I wanted to roll the clip of this Dolphin Crash thing because this alone, I should have gone up to like at least 25 or 30 here if I had been remembering this. This was really fun, and in case people are wondering about the backstory on that, here is the Dolphin Crash legacy. Yes, and by the way, not only this reaction to the memory wall, but also all of her Jen pun t-shirts. Dom, you have a very punnable name. I'm kind of now mad at you for not having a bunch of Dom pun t-shirts, but I definitely remember talking years and years ago at this point with Ian Terry about, back when the idea
in the Ian Terry view.
Yes. about the idea of returning to Big Brother someday. And I was begging him to make his entire Big Brother 2.0 wardrobe just all shirts and famous wardrobe items that other people had worn on previous seasons, and have a bunch of like Jen pun t-shirts, or like a Dolphin Crash t-shirt, or a Suicidal Tendencies t-shirt. You could honestly do the whole thing just out of Big Brother 8 people. And I want to add to that, by the way, Kaz, something you tweeted at me that I thought was a really good call. If we do get to see more of these homages from Ian to various iconic reality TV clothing from over the years, the G1 fucking pumpkin sweater from The Genius, if he can find some way to get that into the Big Brother house in some manner that will clear the FCC guidelines, I will be blown away, and this season will probably immediately be cemented as my number one of all time.
We could get some Dongman-esque waistcoats in there, I'm sure. That one might be easier to sneak past the censors. But I'm wondering what Danny Donato must have thought, catching sight of the first Dolphin Crash t-shirt that she must have seen in a good 13 years at this point.
I mean, I wonder what Zach thought, catching sight of the first Dolphin Crash t-shirt. I wonder, one, if Zach is aware of this yet, and two, what he thinks about it.
Someone with more journalistic know-how than us needs to follow up on that.
Yes, Dom, where are you?
Somebody tells me Zach has no idea what's going on with Big Brother right now.
That would be a first. Dom, where are you on Ian's prospects here? You were out pretty early. Why do you hate Ian, too?
I don't hate Ian. I actually think he has a pretty good shot this season. I thought you guys would fight over him, so I decided to stay out of that one for the time being. But I think Ian is, as he himself would admit, in that kind of spot where he will be in the danger zone in the first week or two more than basically anybody else. But if he survives that far, then he is going to be untouchable for a good while after that. It's going to make a deep run. When it pertains to the end game competitions, I think it was Nicole, who mentioned it to someone else already, that the endgame comps in recent seasons have been so much more physical that that changes the calculus in terms of who you have to worry about going deep. I think she may have been trying to assuage Cody's concerns that someone else might be a competition threat or something. And so that might affect Ian negatively. As you say, though, Carz, I don't know what the logistics are of building those big physical competitions for a season like this. And maybe that this will be the exception that would normally prove the rule, but in this case will be very beneficial to specifically Ian of everyone in the house. I think he has a good shot to go deep. I think even though he is seen as a winner, I don't think people assign him the equivalent threat level that you might expect for him as a winner, and they don't see him as a threat in general. He's just that nice, young, naive guy who fluked that win against Dan, and now he's back here, and oh shucks, I just love Ian. He's maybe he's a little awkward, but he's lovable. How can you not love Ian? And that disguises how dangerous he can be as a player. And like you said, even though he's been kind of out of the Big Brother game for the past few years, now that he knows he's going back into the Big Brother game, he will be more studied up than anyone. He will know his shit. And if there is any memory comp of any kind, if Ian wants to win it, he's going to win it. You can lock that in right now. Even though we never got to test that properly with the county bet, which I'm still bitter over from many years ago.
That went pretty well for me.
Hey, either put up or shut up. You know, don't make the bet if you can't follow through. But I'm optimistic for Ian's chances. The one thing that gives me pause is, even if he plays a good game, and even if that's the consensus in the house, he makes it to the end again, will he have the respect of the house, of the jury, that he needs to convert that into a second win? But my concern is that he, ironically, could end up in the Dan situation, where he comes back and actually plays maybe the best game in the house and doesn't get rewarded for it by the jury. And just with the, you know, whenever you have a season like Ian's first season, where you have a hate figure in the house, whether it's a Dan Giesling or in previous times, like a Russell Hans or something. Whoever beats them, there's always the unanswered question of, if they are up against just a normally well-liked and respected player, how would they fare? And we don't know that yet. So that would be my concern about Ian, is that if he gets to choose who he's sitting there with, then maybe he can finagle that. But if he's up against someone who just has more social connections and who has also played like a decent-ish game, you know, the current Big Brother jury format, as Janelle already called out on the feeds, doesn't give you a time to make a case for yourself, so Ian won't have a chance to swing anybody. And I don't know if Ian's game is the one under attack. Like, if Ian is the dominant player in the house, would he suffer the same fate as, you know, a Tyler who, or a Paul, just kind of not giving the jury members they're sending out the door the kind of closures that they want, even if it's irrational, even if they shouldn't get to expect it? It turns out that they do, even on an all-star cast. You might say especially on an all-star cast. And that would be my big concern. And that's kind of a good concern to have. Like, if you're going to be in the game long enough, in a good enough position that's a concern for you, then something's going right. But that would be the niggling thought at the back of my mind at the moment.
There were a couple specific things Ian said in the premiere. The first, cause you were dead right, when it was his turn to answer what was the one word thing that you needed the most, or you hoped for the most, or whatever, I literally said aloud, luck, along with him. It's a quite predictable answer there from him. And then over the course of that 2-hour premiere, I swear I heard him talk about luck like another couple of times in there. So I suspect he is really trying to play up to the other people in the house. Yeah, I'm a former winner, but I just fluked my way there. I have also heard Taryn saying that the endgame competitions that were so favorable for Ian's skill set in BB14 aren't exactly what we've been seeing over the last couple of years. Although, Dom, you did raise an interesting point that who knows, honestly, what to really expect for endgame competitions, just competitions of any sort this season, based on the precautions they may have to take compared to normal. And then the other thing that Ian said specifically in the premiere that I definitely need to ask you about, Cause, because as soon as I heard it, I was thinking of you and Dom and the aforementioned Taryn and all of the other Stan Gieslings out there, when it was Ian's intro package and they included him saying something like, Yeah, I was up in the finals against Dan Giesling, widely considered one of the best players of all time, and I thrashed him 6-1. I could see you guys reacting to that.
Yeah, thrashing, I thought that was quite interesting. Look, it's hard to disagree, right? Like, when you win 6-1 and it sounds like you had 4 of the votes pretty much banked a day or two in advance, yeah, it's tough to argue with that.
You guys found ways to argue with that in 2012, if I remember correctly.
Look, I will always say, even knowing Ian, I still think Dan deserved to win the season, but that has no relevance in this particular season, and I am a pro-Ian stan big time here, so you won't get me to say anything bad about our boy this time around.
Okay. All right, so there goes Ian for $23. It is back over to me to nominate someone that I think Dom might finally bid on. I guess that person is going to be, you know, since Dan Giesling is front of mind, as he always should be, someone I don't think any of us know that much about, but the comparison I keep hearing is Dan Giesling, so I will certainly say my expectations are high for Tyler. Let's find out how high your guys' expectations are for Tyler. I will open Tyler at
$3.
$3.50? Wow.
I'll get a $5.
$6.
$7.50?
I'm out.
I'm also good on Tyler at $7.50. Wow. So, Dom, yeah, you feel good about that price, it seems?
The early seal of the draft, we're going to call that now, lock it in. Yeah, from what I understand, Tyler belongs, if maybe not in the absolute god tier with Dan and Will, and maybe Derek, depending on if you ask Derek himself or many others. But certainly in the next tier down, you know, Tyler is someone who many people think should have won his season, and always when that claim is made, then the question becomes, well, where did their jury management fall down or whatever? And Taron Armstrong did an excellent breakdown of what that argument really means, because often it just kind of goes around in circles in practice. Tyler, you can make a case, Tyler kind of got sidetracked the way that maybe a player like Danielle got sidetracked, where Angela was in the house with him. He made choices, therefore, that weren't conducive to maximizing his chances to win, and he fell into the gap between where his equity should have been and where his equity was as a result. Without Angela in the house, he doesn't have that distraction. He doesn't have that showman to draw attention to him. And he doesn't have that thing which is going to hamper him, which is going to always be constraining whatever he wants to do. So Tyler can play the game that he wants to play. And we've seen that the game that he can play is incredible, even with that that anchor hanging around him. So I would happily have paid a lot more for Tyler. Thrilled to pick him up here. And I suspect I only did so because none of us have really watched or know much about Tyler. And if we had, I think the bidding would have carried on. It would still be going on right now, I expect.
So I've heard the great things about this guy, and I just tend to trust what I hear on this kind of thing from the people I respect. So, you know, I've heard people like Taron say good things about Tyler, but I guess the thing that held me back is not any of that stuff. It's more that people just saw him do this last season. So you look at, again, like I think Ian is a perfect example of this. We told him at the time when he won, you know, if you want to win another season, the metagame, you know, sort of dictates that you need to wait 7 or 8 years. And now his reputation has died down. The impression I get is that Tyler has only, you know, really raised his stock in recent memory to the point that I think he's on everyone's radar as a robbed winner. So I'm not saying it's a bad purchase. I really have no idea since I've never seen the guy play a second of Big Brother, but I wouldn't be surprised if this kind of guy is an early target simply because he's the most recent big person to get out.
An Aubrey that is, in Game Changers, perhaps?
Perhaps,
yeah. That's a great comparison.
That is absolutely fair. I think the response there would be, first of all, that it's not like Tyler was overtly being like a Will Kirby or a Dan, certainly in BB14, if not BB10, where once you see them in action, in full-on slasher mode, there's no way you can forget that. My impression is that Tyler played a fairly kind of by-the-books game, like certainly an impressive game, but just no, like, really super elaborate lies. Like, he wasn't constantly double-dealing everywhere to the point where it was super obvious or where that's the thing that he's really known for. And so I think his metagame is, like, he would much rather this be happening a few years down the line where people have had time to forget about him. But given that that's not the case, I think it's not so disastrous as it would be for some other people in the cast.
So I was going to say the same thing that you said, Kaz, about my major reservation about Tyler being just recency bias and being front of mind for people as a recent player who did a really strong job their first time around. And I'm guessing a lot of people in the house may not have watched. I think it was BB20, not last year, but 2 years ago, I think. But either way, I think plenty of people in there may not have seen firsthand what Tyler was up to and may have just heard about Tyler. And I think that may be working against him. So, at the same time though, it, does seem like he, to this point, is not, necessarily on the radar as an early target, although maybe just kind of running good with Cody being the winner of the first head of household. And actually, now that I'm saying that, I am remembering seeing earlier today on social media from, like, Big Brother live feed updaters that Tyler was going around making, like, three different final twos this morning in the span of 10 minutes. So maybe he is playing a little harder than one would potentially like to see this soon into the game. But I will say Tyler is perhaps the person I'm most excited out of those that I haven't seen yet to get to know as a Big Brother player, because I've definitely heard a ton of hype from many people with opinions about the show that I certainly respect. So the one other thing, actually, not only just recency biased, but I have obviously not seen this myself, but which is always a good way of beginning an argument. I have heard that while Tyler was very effective at imposing his will on whichever of BB20 or BB21 he was on the cast of that season, it may have been more of a Kim Spradlin in One World kind of situation where there was not necessarily a ton of hyper-competitive opponents in there that could put up much of a fight, but compared to an average cast, or certainly the cast that he's going to find himself up against this time. But again, can't really speak to that one firsthand.
And also, that is literally every BBUS cast other than maybe the first Big Brother All-Stars. So, you know, find me someone on this cast that you could make the exact same criticism for, and I'll sign on to that.
Okay, so there goes Tyler. 4750. Kaz, you are back on deck.
All right, let's go.
I guess back at bat. You were on deck, and now you're up.
It's all right. I know you're not a huge baseball
yeah.
guy. Let's go with the other winner in this cast, Nicole Franzel. I'll start it at a buck.
Two.
350.
Five.
Give me six.
650.
750.
May I just quickly pause to ironically praise you, Dom, on bidding quickly here? This is very much what we are going for. I will raise to eight.
I figured we would just edit out the most egregious pauses anyway, but nice to be praised for that, especially from you. High standards always. $9.
Dom, you know, it's just nice to be positive when the opportunities present themselves, so I'll make it 10 even.
10.50.
11.
I'll keep it moving with 11.50.
13.
15.
15.50.
Andy Heron, the angel on your shoulder, just whispering in your ear, making the bid for you here. 16.
I am extremely tempted to, for the sake of the bit, tank forever before giving a response here. I will save that for another time, and I will fold at this price. Kaz, any chance you have been lying in the weeds here waiting to strike, or are you done here too?
I was out about $12 ago.
Okay, so I believe $16 sold to Dom. Dom, what is making you so optimistic about Nicole Franzel here?
So, you may not like her, you may not want to root for her, but her BB18 game was very effective, like, on her own terms, despite the fact that she spent most of it in bed with Corey, which may or may not have worked to her advantage. She played that season very well, I thought, and it was easy for the Life Eaters to make fun of her, and you know, there were always some great impressions that you could do of her if you were so inclined, but in terms of just effective Big Brother gameplay, she nailed it, and she had that entire cast, for the most part, wanting to work with her, trusting her. She was able to, like, straddle the divisions between all the different sides. I thought she played a very effective game. She, going into that season, she received coaching from Derek, I believe, and I don't know if she went back to that dojo for this time around. Judging by Derek's tweets, I'm guessing not. He seemed a little perturbed about her possible role in evicting him pre-season from Big Brother All-Stars. But I don't know. I think there's, if you just remove your own personal feelings about it and just take a cold, hard, sober look at the situation, then I think you have to believe in Nicole.
Kaz, are you apparently not nearly as big a believer in Nicole as Dom, but I know you did not see her winning season. Have you heard much about Nicole over the years, or are you just mostly going on what you've seen from BB16?
So, I mean, I saw her entire game in BB16, and I would say I was, you know, very let down based on the potential I thought she had. Again, I did not watch BB18, but as somebody who tends to call out things like bitter juries when I see them, you know, it sounds to me like she won due to a bitter jury, and I know that's up for debate, but as somebody who's never watched Paul play, I get the impression that he is probably pretty damn good at Big Brother, other than at the finals. So I think there's a lot in terms of like her overperforming that I've seen so far. And I think there are a lot of disaster scenarios for her. In fact, I had her circled as another candidate to be first person out. I was less optimistic on that after seeing some of the early reports about Janelle being a target. But I still think Nicole could be an early target. What I will say is I did no research for this podcast other than sending a DM to Taryn Armstrong, and I just said, hey, did you make a winner pick? Because I don't know half of these people. I just want to make sure I'm not super low on somebody. And he said, don't sleep on Nicole. And Nicole was somebody that I had very near the bottom of my board, so I came into this thinking, oh, maybe I can get her for a steal. Turns out you guys had the same idea as him. Again, I am not going to say that Taryn is wrong because he knows way more about this show than I do, but I get the impression that kind of like Danny Donato, Nicole Franzel might be one of those people who is such an underrepresented player that she might actually be overhyped. I just get the impression that she could go a few weeks into this and then fizzle out or try to make a big move and have it blow up in her face. And I also think, again, I don't know this for sure, but I think that there might be some cause for friction between her and Ian, not for anything that's happened inside or outside the show necessarily, but just in terms of them knowing each other and them both being the only two winners on the cast. I think they're either going to align together or they're going to completely separate. And since I'm banking on Ian, I can't help but be a little lower on Nicole. So again, it's not that I don't think she can do well. It's more that everyone else seems to be much higher on her than I am, so I'm happy to just kind of bow out of this one and watch.
Okay, I'm using basically the same logic that Dom laid out of, well, I may not necessarily find it the most enthralling kind of gameplay, and certainly Twitter may not love the Nicole Franzel approach to Big Brother. She made it, by the way, to the morning of day two before getting lit up on social media for, like, immediately selling out all the women. it does seem to be effective, and I do feel like the same style she played pretty effectively, at least from what I remember, in BB18 could be effective once again here, despite her being one of only two people coming into this season as a former winner. I guess it is almost inherently going to put a bigger target on her than she ever really had in either of her first two seasons, but I still feel like Nicole has that kind of persona that makes you underestimate her, rightly or wrongly. So I don't think $16 for Nicole is the craziest thing in the world here. With that out of the way, it is back over to you, Dom.
All right. Give me the meow meow, Enzo Palumbo. And I recall you, Carl, I don't know why this quote still sticks out to me after so much time, but during the original BB12 discussions, you said something to the effect of, I think I like the idea of Enzo more than I actually like Enzo. A decade on, how do you feel about the idea of Enzo and the reality of Enzo, would you say?
I think I still agree with that statement, but what's interesting about him in this cast is I think this is kind of a good cast for him in that there are no, you know, major threats like a Dan or a Derek in there. There's not anybody who's like a true, real bottom feeder. I think he's, again, skating in that middle. So we can bid on him, and then I'll have a longer kind of diatribe about why I think he'd be, you know, an interesting person in this cast. But I just want to say I'm so excited to have him back because I can finally be proven right or wrong one way or another.
I suppose we should finally get down to the numbers then. So I'll throw in an opening bid of $3 for Enzo.
Four.
Five.
Eight.
Nine.
$10.
I will let Enzo go for 10. Dom, are you interested here? I know you're a cat guy. Are you into the meow meow?
I think the bidding's doing the talking here. I'll let Carl have Enzo for 10.
That's perfect. I think it's a great way to end this decade-long arc that I've had with Enzo.
Especially, by the way, the Enzo memory I have is whenever we did our like all-time greatest Big Brother player rankings, you came in the year 2012, at least somewhat defensively with Enzo as the number 10 player of all time.
I think it might have even been higher than that, actually.
I'm pretty sure it was. I think it was number 10, and I'm going to tell myself it was number 10 because you just bought him for $10, and I like that symbolism.
What I remember of that, I don't remember what the ranking was, but I remember I said it and you erupted in laughter.
Yes.
Like I have never heard from a human being before.
It was one
and
of
so that,
the.
That's how I knew I was right.
This is, even to this day, something that has stayed in my memory as one of the least professional moments of my highly unprofessional podcasting career.
Okay, well, I think I can finally use this as a platform to talk about why I think Enzo is really good. I don't know that this is like a good or bad cast for him. I think it's perfectly average. And so, again, I think it's a great opportunity to own him at what's probably going to be a pretty average price. And I'm happy to root for the guy. So I think the biggest reason that at least Colin and probably Dom as well are lower on Enzo than I am is that he is not somebody that any of the three of us gravitate towards to in terms of what we look for out of players. And I think that's because all three of us, you know, on some level are at least reasonably average intelligence or a little higher, right? And so I think we value intelligence in these games. We constantly look for who's the smartest, who's the person like Ian that's going to be able to hack everything. And Enzo doesn't really do that. Enzo is not somebody who presents himself as being intelligent. And what I think people often overlook in all of these games, but especially Big Brother, is that being smart is not a prerequisite for winning. And that doesn't mean that the dumber person has to fluke into their win either. You know, being intelligent is one of the many tools that you need in your tool belt. It's not really one that Enzo has, but I think he has a lot of the other capabilities that I'm looking for out of a good player. So especially when we're in a situation like this in 2020 where people have been locked indoors by themselves or with one or two other people for the last 5 months, I think somebody like Enzo, who is highly entertaining, is really cool, laid back, always going to go with the flow – you know, I think he's going to be somebody that people gravitate towards. You know, people are dying for social interaction, and Enzo is a guy who's going to be your friend. You never have to worry about him outsmarting you when you're in an alliance with him. You know that he's generally a pretty loyal guy who's a first-level thinker. So he's, in my opinion, going to end up going deep in a lot of these games a lot of the time. Now, the issue for him is going to be when he gets down to Final Five, Final Four, Final Three, can he win his way there? That is definitely the issue. But I think the key is he doesn't need to be smart to jump on these late game opportunities because they're pretty simple. When you get down, especially in Big Brother, to the Final Five, the game sort of plays itself. You don't need to be tricking people inside the Final Four unless you're Dan Gheesling. So if he falls short, Enzo will fall short, but his strategy is going to put him in a position where he's rarely going to be an early target. He's more than likely going to be a fairly, you know, middle to end game kind of player. And all he really needs is sort of, you know, a couple competitions to break his way, a couple people to make mistakes. He could find himself sitting in the final two. And if he is, I think he's so likable that he's always going to be a serious contender to win, even if he hasn't really done that much in the game. So I am very excited to see what happens with him this season. I could easily see him flaming out, doing something stupid and going out early in some circumstances, but I doubt it. I think you're just going to see him bro down again. I think if that alliance does well, he's going to go far. If it breaks up, he's probably going to be one of the last surviving members. And I really think that Ian and him could get along, especially since Hayden is not in the house. I really see Enzo and Ian clicking. So my call is that Enzo makes the final, let's just say four again, but I think he could actually find himself in the finals.
So sorry, Dom, I want to go in the middle here because I want Dom to be the tiebreaker here. I certainly have seen Enzo on Twitter and would not be asking him to take the SATs on my behalf anytime soon. But when it comes to thinking about the game Big Brother, I do think Enzo genuinely has, for the most part, a pretty good idea of what's going on around him and what the right priorities are. And that is what I'm looking for in a Big Brother player. So now I feel like it's weird that you, Kaz, drafted him and got him with the high bid, even though it sounds like I feel better about Enzo as a player. So Dom, tell me where you are on Enzo, the Big Brother force, or perhaps not.
I think I lean more towards Kaz on this one. He reminds me, and I think that's because in some ways their gameplay was modeled on this, on the dominant guys alliance from BB Can 7, which I know that comparison won't mean anything to either of you, and not much to me except for what I've been able to glean secondhand. But I think that Enzo, he's fantastic when he's in a brigade, but he needs a brigade. And I think that there's not much flexibility to the way he plays, and he'll need to find a way to recreate that in the course of the season. Now, of course, you do have Cody, the HOH of this week. You have Tyler, you have some of the other guys in the house who I think he could very easily do that with. But I don't know if he's going to go down as well with, you know, the Devons and Keishas and Janelles of the world. I think he needs to broaden his appeal to a wider group of players. And I think he can. I think people like Enzo. And already on the feed, you have several people saying just how hilarious Enzo is. And that's the perfect quality to have around in a game where 90% of your time is downtime that's defined by boredom. Just having Enzo around because he's a hoot is that's a great place to be. I do have those concerns, though, that you mentioned he's loyal. He is, and I worry that he's loyal to a fault. And in BB12, he'd worked himself into this end game where he wouldn't actually get taken to the end. He couldn't win his way to the end, and even if somehow miraculously he ended up in the end, he wasn't going to beat either of the guys that he could have gone up against. And so even though Enzo exerted a lot of influence in the house, he was in like almost a deterministically losing endgame, kind of like Anthony was in BB Can 7. And you know, Anthony is often held up as a great player. Maybe Enzo should be too for those same reasons. But I worry that Enzo is perfectly poised to make a deep run and not well poised to get Kaz the prize pole at the end of it.
The one thing I want to say on that, though, is you talk about when he played himself down to the finals with the brigade last time, he was up against two guys who he obviously could never beat. I still think it's up in the air that he maybe could have beaten Lane, maybe not, but obviously he couldn't win his way there. I think the difference this time is the guys he would bro down with are not Hayden or Lane. They're probably like Cody and Memphis, right? And I think he absolutely is capable of beating at least Memphis in a competition. I could see Cody, you know, taking the wrong person to the finals again. So I think he has less competition with that brigade crew this time around, and I think that does work in his favor. Now, I'm totally with you that he could find himself in the same exact spot, bro down with somebody like Ian, sit in the final two with him and lose, but I also think it's worth noting that this is a cast that it's a little different than Survivor in that these people are not particularly wealthy. And I think they could look down on somebody as a two-time winner. And so Ian could play a phenomenal game. Nicole Franzel could play a phenomenal game. But if they're sitting at the end against Enzo and he says, hey, I don't make that much money, I'm a likable guy, this person's already won once, I could see him getting an undeserved win. So I think he's got a little more equity with the kinds of people he's going to play with this time than he did with the brigade.
It sounds like I may be the highest on Enzo as a player out of the three of us. I just share the concern about him being able to have control over much of the end game. And I don't know, just based on his first time, about how likely he is to be able to find himself in a finals situation that is actually going to be favorable for him. But if he does make the finals, I agree. I think he's going to be in there with a shot, you know, sight obviously totally unseen on August 6th, 2020. In general, I still feel like there's definitely reason to believe Enzo could win a random jury vote under plenty of different circumstances. So, all right, there goes Enzo. It is back on me. I should have anticipated this moment and had a person ready to go. But in looking at this list, one name is kind of jumping out to me at this point as an interesting person to put up and find out what you guys think about her prospects at winning and just seeing her back. So let's get that process underway by nominating Keisha for $3.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Wow. Okay. All right. I will begin by saying not at all the reaction I was necessarily anticipating. I feel like Keisha, for me, as someone who just rewatched Big Brother 10 relatively recently, one more time, that's patreon.com/Dom and Colin. Thanks for asking if you would be interested in hearing our coverage of that season. I felt like Keisha had a very solid social game. And this time around, I think we'll crucially, at least hopefully, be a bit more skeptical of the people with whom she is playing and making some of these deals. So I feel like Keisha, with the amount of time that has passed, is in a good spot to at least not stand out as a target right away. And $3, based on the prices some of these other people are going for, feels like a pretty good buy for just about any warm body in the house here. So I am thrilled about Keisha for $3. Kaz, I will ask you why you were so quick to fold there. Just not a believer at all, it seems.
I mean, have you seen Keisha play? Have you seen her get in fights with people? Have you seen her really do anything that makes you think she's capable of winning this season? Like, who is she beating?
Have you seen an all-star season of any reality show?
I have, and I think this is a great point, especially looking at your team. You're clearly drafting with the wrong head here. I think you have a tendency in these things to draft people based on what you think will happen versus what other people think will happen. So Keisha, to me, is somebody who I think you will never see an all-star cast see her in the finals and go, yes, this is who we want representing our season. And I would tie this back to what I said about Michelle Fitzgerald for our other auction, where you were so excited to get her for $6. And oh my God, she made the finals and she still had no chance of winning when she got there. So I put Keisha in that same exact boat. I don't see who she beats in this cast. I think I'm really struggling to find who she beats other than if the person she's sitting next to is like a despicable human being who also backstabbed everybody. I don't see how she ever beats anybody in a straight up game.
So, you realize you have just locked in the Keisha Christmas final two that we've all been dreading.
Oh, trust me. I went back at a certain point in Winners at War to hear what we said about Michelle Fitzgerald when I was thinking she was one of the front runners to win that. And I was very ready to roll back the clip of Kaz talking about how she was 0.0% to win and you wouldn't have spent $1 on her and so forth. And maybe you will, like with Michelle, be proven to be totally right here. It just, to me, like I said about Michelle, came down to basic math, as far as I'm concerned, where we are through 7 out of 16 people. There's already $58 in the prize pool. There are plenty more reasonably priced people, I would anticipate, left to go. And the no winner item at the end that I'm guessing will generate at least some level of interest. $3 into what I am forecasting will be at certainly well over $100 total prize pool, to me just seems like, as I said, I would spend $3 on just about anyone.
I know. I refer you to the coverage that we did of Big Brother 10 as the ideal counter-argument to that.
Okay. All right. So I guess let's move it swiftly along there and hopefully your guys to takes age horribly. But with that out of the way, Kaz, it is over to you again.
Well, do we just want to put some more Colin bait out there? Can I nominate another attractive woman? Let's go with Christmas, and I'll put her up for 50 cents.
I'll go to a dollar on Christmas.
like a moth to a flame.
Is no one going to $1.50?
I'll go to $1.50.
You can have her for $1.50 just because I need to establish that it's not just me having a type, so I will pass on what I would deem yet again a mathematically worthwhile investment of going to $2 on Christmas. But for the sake of my own reputation here, I will let you have her here, Kaz.
Wait, is Dom still in?
Oh, Dom, are you? I assume not, but maybe that's a flawed assumption here.
Oh, I was out long ago.
Okay.
Perfect.
Kaz, you must be thrilled to be getting Christmas here for $1.50.
Yeah, so everything you just said about Keisha, I'm saying about Christmas, but I've never seen her play, so that's my excuse.
Okay. I believe Christmas has been kind of the standout fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas kind of person in this cast that has been taking some heat along those lines. Dom, you did see at least some of Christmas, right?
I mean, here and there, as much as I needed or wanted to.
I mean, Dom, you were famous for ruining Christmas on podcasts, so what are your thoughts on Christmas here this season? Well,
yes, my general anti-Christmas mentality carries over here. I think she was a kind of accidental last-minute addition to this cast. I think she is seen that way by a lot of the players here, who I don't think they have anything against her just yet, but over the course of the season, they're not going to build up the kind of respect that they'll need to crown her as the winner of this season in particular, this All-Star season. And in all the conversations I've seen so far, like in attempting to watch the feeds, it feels like Christmas is always the one talking. You know, and she's dominating all these conversations, not really seeming to listen whenever anyone else is giving their two cents. So I don't have high hopes for Christmas, but I have high hopes for Kaz to spike this whole thing with his $1.5 speculative bet there.
I don't have high hopes either for this stranger, but somebody's got to beat Keisha at the end, so I'm banking on Christmas.
Okay. I also don't have high hopes, although I will echo what I said moments ago, which is that I think pretty much anyone would be worth $2 in this situation. But all right, I guess nowhere to go but up for Christmas as far as the general consensus is concerned at this point. Dom, it is back over to you.
All right. How do we feel about Devon for $2?
$3.
$3.50.
I'll go $4.
$4.50.
Keep in mind, I've never seen this person play. I'll go $5.
I'm out at $5.
Okay. So I can't give a ton of an analysis on this. This is 100% me betting on production interference. My understanding is that she's on the challenge all the time. She's on Big Brother all the time. So it is 100% me banking on production liking her and wanting her to go far.
I actually feel like this is an aspect of this that we haven't considered nearly enough. And maybe I should quickly work to factor this in a bit more. I think that is really going to come into play on this season. And there are some clear favorites that production would have on this cast, and Devon is definitely one of them. So add that to what I think is definitely a strong talent for some part of the game. Like it was said in BB17 that she barely lasted any time in the house. But the time that she was there, she was very alert to everything that was going on. She like called out the twin twist before anyone else really did. So very perceptive in one sense. Maybe unable to convert that into lasting long in the game. But I think if there is an all-star cast that she could succeed with, this is kind of what it would look like. And I think she's actually better placed than she would be with any kind of otherwise random group of people.
Yeah, so I've, as I said, been a big Devon fan for the two seasons I've seen her on Big Brother and the two seasons I've seen her on The Challenge. I also think Devon could be a sneaky candidate to benefit from a theory I'm kind of working on, the third time's a charm bump where we've seen, I feel like, over the history of reality TV, certain people who may not have been in there kind of fully focused on winning their first two times really reset their priorities on their third time. I'm thinking about Coach. I'm thinking about, like, Tyson. I feel like Davon could be one such person. At the same time, I feel like what I have seen out of Davon in the Big Brother house her first two times around does leave me somewhat nervous, even with a bit more reality experience under her belt.
Okay, so I think that about says it all for Davon. Who's up next? Who has to put someone?
Sorry, let me quickly interject and ask, which of you got Davon and for how much? Because my spreadsheet is totally screwed up at this point. I need to fix it all. but I think I have it.
I got her for $5.
Okay, sounds good. My columns have gotten screwed up here, but I will sort this out as we continue. And so there goes Davon to Kaz, which means we now have 9 people back off the board, and it is back over to me to make a nomination as I am in the middle of trying to figure out what went wrong on this spreadsheet, but that's okay. We will throw out, how about Kacer for $1, the freshly safe Kacer. Any takers?
$2.
Dom?
Let's keep it moving, people.
I will go to $2.50 on Kacer.
$3.
I will go to $3.50 on Kacer. Going once, $3.50 on Kacer.
$4.
At this juncture, I will pass on Kacer at $4. It sounds like he is yours, Kaz, for $4. The reluctance, I think, goes without saying for most people who are familiar with Kacer's history in the Big Brother house. And, well, there are plenty of reasons that kind of speak for themselves to be nervous about Kacer here. Kaz, I want to begin by just asking what you thought about actually seeing that Kacer was going to be back.
Shocked. I mean, this is somebody I never, ever thought would be back on Big Brother. But it's so interesting. I think he's maybe the most interesting returnee in this cast. Obviously, his first two times in the house was a huge fan favorite, but also I think like a pretty capable, average to above average player. Not somebody who's ever going to wow you with their strategic sense, but certainly is capable. I think this is me partly just banking on some combination of production interference, fans wanting him to go far, and kind of the hope that if he can skate through these first couple weeks, maybe, just maybe, people will forget about him for a little while. I don't really have high hopes for him, but this is more just – this is kind of the cap where I would have gone with him. It's really just kind of an equity purchase for me. I could see this going pretty much every direction for Kacer. I could see him being – I guess it sounds like he can't be the first one out, but he could be the second one out. It sounds like he's been a big target so far, but he's a smart guy. He's very likable. I'm just hoping that he gets his hooks in an alliance and can ride it for a while, but I don't think this is going to be one of those that I'm going to look back on and say this was a great price or a steal, and I'm not banking on him winning this season.
Tom, what do you think about Kacer's chances in here?
I was overjoyed to see him back. I think he's one of the most fascinating players on the cast, not because he's a good player necessarily, and that plays into my unwillingness to bet on him, and not because I was some like rabid Sovereign Six fan from back in the day. I just think he's just a very interesting personality, and the way that comes into how he plays the game, it feels like he should be a lot better than he is. You know, his demeanor, his intellect, people seem to love the guy. You had people just kind of like in tears as he was walking out the door several times on each of his seasons. But for some reason, that never seems to add up to success in the game. It feels like he's less than the sum of his parts as a player. And it feels like back in the day, that was because he was trying to play too hard, too fast. And, you know, season 6, there was this division down the middle of the house. Season 7, it was season 6 against the world. And so inevitably, he was at the forefront of that. this season, I think he can certainly blend in a lot more. Now, he hasn't already. You know, he had to win the competition to keep himself and Janelle safe. But I think we often do see whoever survives that target in the first week does often tend to blend in and go pretty far. And I don't know if they actually need to survive being on the block for that principle to hold. It might be that after this initial bout of attention, no one really cares about Kayser anymore, and he can integrate himself into the house and really get a steady footing. So I am very happy to see him back, very curious to see how he does. I think he does have a shot at making a decent run. So I hard to evaluate if this is a steal, but I could definitely see it playing out that way.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing I said about Janelle, which is it did seem like Kayser potentially got off to a rocky start here. I was hoping Kayser would be able to kind of hang back and not draw too much suspicion. It does seem like his name was coming up a bit early, but now that he has that safety, I'm hoping he can kind of fade into the background a bit. You know, he is not averse whatsoever to gunning for these early HOH reigns, so I would be pretty heartbroken if we didn't get to see at least a few more weeks out of Kayser here. Not sure what it would even look like. I have a hard time even imagining Kayser in the endgame of any season of Big Brother, but I certainly would love to change that and get to see it with my own two eyes. So while I did not feel going to 450 was necessarily the greatest investment, Kayser is certainly going to stand out, I would imagine, for as long as he's in the season, as one of my primary rooting interests. For sure. All right. So
can I just ask you guys one other thing on Kayser? I keep going back and forth on this. Do you guys think, if we're looking at this from Ian's perspective, because I think that's the player we obviously think most like, do we think that Ian is somebody who will want to align with Kayser, or is he going to look at Kayser as the person he needs to get out for him to have success in this game?
I don't see them as trying to really occupy the same role, and I also don't see Kayser as inclined to come after either Ian himself or players like Ian. And there's also not going to be that kind of social barrier that I think Kayser is a kind of pretty empathetic person, can connect with Ian on some level. I can have some like intelligent conversations with him. So I don't think there's going to be any kind of wall up between them. And yeah, I could definitely see them working together.
All right. I would anticipate the same. I think Ian would view Kayser as an attractive hypothetical ally. I also have some breaking news, which is that I may have thrown off this entire nomination order. I realized I was missing a person on one part of this spreadsheet as I was counting, so who knows if this is even right, but I know I just nominated Kayser, so Kaz, we will say you are the next to nominate now.
Yes, the nomination order is so important, right? So I think yes. We can about it. So let's do it. Let's put up your boy and mine. I want to see how high it goes. Kevin Campbell, let's not beat around the bush. I'll just start it at $10.
12.
15.
Okay. I'll go back to 12. I'll take him for 12, please.
17.
20.
21.
21.50. Colin going to swoop in here with the 25 and blindside all of us?
22.
There it is.
23.
I'll pump it to 25. Why not?
26.
28.
28.50.
You can have him, and I don't feel good about it.
Okay.
I'm still thinking about this.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to let you have him, but I want to know that I think this is the one I'm going to regret.
Okay, good. So I'm very glad you guys let me have him for $28.50 because this was a spot where I was pretty much selling out. I'm looking at, not to tip my hand too much here, but the rest of the board, and sorry to bring it back to fantasy football, I have a lot of kind of flyers on my team at this point, and Kevin was a person I viewed as obviously one of the front runners, but also the last kind of like real heavy hitter that I was going to have an opportunity to get that I really, really wanted. So I was going, I don't know how much higher, but I was certainly not done bidding on Kevin if you guys had decided to keep raising. But yeah, Kevin was for me maybe even on like the same level as seeing Ian was going to be back or Kacer was going to be back, because as you guys know very well, I have loved Kevin ever since BB11. I've thought of him as one of the all-time underrated Big Brother players who came insanely close to winning if one competition had just gone differently. He played a remarkably impressive game from start to finish on his first season, as far as I was concerned, and over the moon. I never thought it was even conceivable that Kevin was going to be back. This was like a Kelly Wentworth kind of situation for me, where I was saying all of this and being so annoying about it for all these years, not thinking it was ever going to actually come in. So a lot emotionally on the line for me here with Kevin, and I am so excited to have him, as I will gladly say, Kevin is the captain of my team. I am all in on Kevin Campbell this season now, both emotionally and financially. Thrilled to have him here. Dom, what do you think about Kevin back after all these years?
I love seeing Kevin back. I never thought it would happen. If you had said to me at any point in the time I've been following Big Brother, you're going to see Kevin back on the show, I'd have thought that was insane. And especially recently, you know, it felt like All Stars itself was a remote possibility at best. And the idea that Kevin would be on it, I mean, even someone from those seasons would be on it, would be a rarity. But Kevin himself, I assume, was totally off the radar. So amazed and thrilled to see him back. And I will put it out there, here's my winner pick for the season. I think Kevin is in the best position of anybody. In part, that's because of the game he played the first time round, the talent he displayed on that season, even in the face of outright rigging in favor of Jordan and company. But I also think that coming to this season, first of all, there will be lots of people on this cast who literally have no idea who Kevin is. As far as they're concerned, he may as well be David. He's some guy who wandered in off the street. And they're not going to have the same assessment of him as a lethal threat that they absolutely should. I think he's going to blend in very well. I think we, when we look down this cast, you have the kind of brigade that could, the brigade that never was, potentially, in like Cody and Enzo, Memphis, Tyler. But then you also have a lot of the women who I think will want to work together. And I think Kevin is going to be the best player at straddling that divide. I think that players like Danielle or Devon or Janelle could easily really warm to Kevin and want to work with him, and he'll be on their side. But also, if that is a sinking ship, I have faith in him to jump off that as soon as it's required and blend in somewhere else. So I don't know if Andy would appreciate this comparison. I'm not sure if Kevin is one of the people that Andy has this hate for, but I think he could play an Andy-esque game where we're going to have this montage after 2 months of everyone saying, I feel great about Kevin. I'm really glad that Kevin won HOH, and so on and so forth. So yeah, I think Kevin is set up great for the season. He is my winner pick. Thrilled to see him back. Have faith in him to do well. So go, Kevin.
Yeah, I believe it is the case that this market of ours has decided Kevin has more win equity than Danielle, Janelle, Keisha, Enzo, Christmas, Kacer, and Devon combined.
Now, that said, there are rumors on Twitter as we speak that he may be one of Cody's nominations here in week one. But that might almost be an argument for investing in him even further, because it sounds like it would be Kevin versus Keisha. Keisha doesn't seem to be making really any bond in the house at all, whereas Kevin, I think, will be integrating well. And it's not even going to be one of those first week blindsides where you deliberately flip the house to flip the script on someone else. Cody doesn't seem to care which one of them goes. No one's going to care whether or not Keisha goes. And I feel like people will have the same indifference towards Kevin, except they'll like him and want him to stick around. And so they'll put enough effort in individually and as a team to keep him around. And if he does, he might be the beneficiary of that week one effect, where if you survive an early nomination, you go deep in the game. I think despite the Cody going rogue, I think the signs are good for Kevin.
Yes, I'm so happy that we live in a universe where Kevin is back and he's all of our winner picks, and Twitter is happy to see him. This is in a year where very few things have been going super well, to say the least, this is certainly going to stand out, I hope, as one of the highlights for me. So thrilled to see what we get out of Kevin Campbell this season. And don't even speak it into the universe, Dom, the idea that Kevin may be in jeopardy at all this first week, because I would not be able to handle that. So with Kevin now...
Can I talk about Kevin?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I thought you had said he was your winner pick, but I'm sorry if we didn't get into more detail there. Go for it.
He is. Is he your winner pick as well? We're all going with the same person?
I believe so, as unfortunate as that is.
Okay. Well, I think that's good. I think it's a fitting thing. Honestly, I really wanted to take him. The only reason I didn't is I think he belongs on your cast. Like, you've been praising him publicly for so long. I think we're all huge fans, but... I think he's going to do it, and I think the only roadblock in his way is Ian, because if any of the three of us went in the house, our biggest target would be Kevin, not the first week, but eventually. And so I'm purely banking on Ian being smart enough to find a way to get Kevin out of this house eventually. But ultimately, I think Kevin is going to have more sway than Ian simply because Ian is a winner. I think Kevin gets it done.
So actually, two things along those lines. I actually did... In preparation for this draft, I didn't sit and think about, like, projected values for people, but I did jot down just a ranking of most to least likely to win as far as I was concerned. And I now would not be tipping anything to say that Kevin was actually number two on that list for me behind Ian. And another thing pertaining to Kevin and Ian is I think you are right that while Kevin is probably going to be massively underestimated as a player by the vast, vast majority of this cast, I am positive Ian Terry is very woke to how capable Kevin is and how potentially deadly Kevin could be in that house. I was thrilled to hear, I think I heard at least early reports that the two of them were at least talking about the prospect of working together. That would be an absolute dream come true for me. But yeah, I would say Ian would be Kevin's big competition, not only for me in terms of win equity, but also in terms of if anyone is going to pull the wool off of people's eyes, Ian, I feel like, is the one who could potentially be capable of not necessarily capable, like he's the most convincing, but the most predisposed to seeing behind the very friendly surface level of Kevin.
I'm very interested, though, by this idea that he could go up against Keisha, and it's funny to me that we're just talking about how Ian is going to sleep for the first 2 months, but if he does really have a shot at Kevin versus Keisha this week, and if that's the way it goes post-veto, I'm just curious to see if Ian takes the shot, because I think there's got to be something in the back of his mind saying, man, if I can get this guy out of here right now, I really could continue sleeping for the next month, and I wouldn't have to worry about doing this 6 weeks from now. I hope that doesn't happen. I want to see Kevin stay in for as long as possible, but I just want to put this call out there right now that I think it's possible Ian could flip it very subtly and get Kevin out if those are the nominations post-veto.
Okay. I at this point, that may be assigning Ian too much, first of all, motivation to take that kind of risk that early. And also, I don't know if it's necessarily a situation where Ian can just bend the house to his will necessarily.
I'm not saying he can, but I think the thought will absolutely cross his mind.
I think this is going quite deep in the weeds. So let's keep this chugging along then. And I believe it's my turn to put a name in the ring.
Yes.
All right. How do you feel about Memphis Garrett for the low, low price of $4?
Five.
6.5.
Seven.
Eight.
Nine.
11 and a half.
Wow. And a half?
Yes, yes, indeed.
I will fold at this juncture. Cause?
I'm out.
All right,
oh, wow.
Dom.
Okay.
There you go. Am I wrong? Can you clarify quickly, I'm sorry, Dom, for me, that this is just the third person you have purchased, or am I missing someone?
No, you're right. Okay. See, I thought I'd have to, like, hide Memphis away and until all of you had emptied your wallets to get him. I thought there'd be more bidding over him, so I'm surprised to see both of you back out. I guess I'll put this over to you then, first of all. Why do you hate Memphis so much?
Well, I would be very interested in the idea of bidding on Memphis from BB10, but I showed up to premiere night and there was this totally other dude who walked into the house.
It's like Homer Simpson's replaced with like this German imposter, and there's something not quite right about him. You can't quite figure out what. And see, that's why I think I'm in on Memphis. I think the Memphis that we saw as the lesser half, I think it's fair to say, of the Renegades in BB10 was a very different person. I think the current Memphis, people, I think he's lost his edge. I think he's grown into his career. I'm sure Jerry watching at home is very happy and very proud of him. He's a married man, a father. It feels like he is just the edges have come off. You know, he is a much better place to fit into this group, which is filled kind of in a Survivor Winners of War way. There are a lot of parents on this cast. Like it's being remarked upon with much relief that we're not going to have any showmances this season, touch wood, just because there's a totally different vibe and totally different life circumstances for all of these players here. And I think given that, Memphis can still be the guy that people want to work with, can maybe hold us in some comps, and be excellent socially, but without maybe the same hot-headedness that got him into trouble in BB10.
Yeah, I certainly see where you are coming from in terms of Memphis being a promising candidate on this season. And one of my big takeaways from when we watched Big Brother 10 on the Patreon feed was that Memphis, I really thought, was a much stronger player, particularly during the early weeks, than I think he historically has gotten credit for, just because of the way things ultimately played out, where he's most remembered for losing unanimously to Dan and kind of as the second banana in that alliance, almost like aiding Dan along his effortless path to, you know, his effortless steamroll to victory. But I certainly believe in Memphis in general as a Big Brother player. I certainly am happy about how much time has passed since anyone would have any memories of Memphis or any reasons whatsoever to be nervous about Memphis. I am shocked to see him back here, but given that he is back here, I could definitely see 1150 proving itself to be a steal. It feels like every one of these auction drafts we do, it's never the people who go for the most who end up winning, and it's rarely the people who go near the lower amounts who end up winning. It's usually someone who, in this kind of context, would be one of these like $10, $11-esque kind of players. So maybe it will prove to be Memphis this time around. Kaz, what do you think about Memphis? I know you're a big BB10 guy in general. Is he someone who stood out to you as potentially more capable than he has gotten credit for over the years?
Absolutely. I've always been a fan of him. I think he was very clearly the second best player in that cast, and I think it's easy to say that when a guy comes in second place, but I think he was head and shoulders above everybody else in that cast, aside from Dan. So I like this. I think it's a perfectly reasonable price. I was kind of planning to be in on him. I thought I'd get him for a lot cheaper than this, and then you guys started bidding, so I just kind of waited. This is kind of right around the edge where I started saying, I don't know if I want to go that high, but I think it's a good price. I think he's got, you know, a little bit above average equity in this group. He's really not that threatening of a guy, despite being a bigger dude. Really, what it just boiled down to me more than anything else was just that I already have Enzo, and I think these guys are probably going to align, and so I don't want to put all my eggs in the bro basket. But I like this. I think Memphis could do pretty darn well in this season.
So I actually think Memphis and Enzo, as you guys have both noted, are in pretty similar situations within the game and just kind of their demographics within the house. And I would say, unlike particularly Kaser, I think either of them could blend in with this slightly younger crowd no problem at all.
Yeah, I completely co-sign that. And when we used to say that 28 to 32 was the sweet spot in terms of age range for a player in one of these games, that was grading on a curve alongside the usual demographics of a cast. When you have a cast that is older, like this one, same thing with Survivor Winners at War, I think maybe the age that Memphis is maybe the sweet spot. You know, you want to be like in your late 30s, early 40s, able to bond with the parents, but also to connect to some of the younger people in the crowd as well. And I have a lot of faith in Memphis to do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Winners at War, it seemed like, based on everything we saw and have heard in exit press, like Adam, Michelle, Wendell, Nick, just done before the game had even started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although, apparently Michelle being done never made its way around to you when you were bidding on her and boasting about how you got the state of the century there.
I mean, I stand by her having... even seeing how it played out, I needed her to have like 1.5% win equity. It was $6 into a $400 pool. So I stand by that purchase.
Too high.
All right. So there goes Memphis. And Dom, I believe you nominated Memphis, which means I am somehow blindsided yet again by it being my turn to nominate, but now seems like a good time to find out, now that we've seen a little bit, or seen most of how the market is going to develop here, let's find out how a random warm body that no one really knows that much about would stack up among this all-star cast. I will put David out there for $2.
Three. He's yours. Oh, scratch that. Reverse it.
You said $3, Kaz?
Yeah, $3.
I will, at this point, fold, and I would normally raise, but despite attempting to not do research, I did, I think, see earlier today on Twitter that David was not someone super familiar with Big Brother history and may still be someone not super familiar with Big Brother history to such an extent that I don't know if David knows that much about anyone he's really playing with that he hasn't played with before.
He's like the anti-Ian, where instead of winning the season and knowing all that there is to know, he was literally evicted as early as you possibly could be and knows nothing. So he's exploring the other side of that philosophy. I find David conceptually is like an interesting inclusion on the season, but I think to borrow your phrase about Enzo, Colin, I think the idea of David is better than the reality of David. I think that he is to borrow another phrase from an anonymous source this time, I think he's a minnow among sharks. I think that he doesn't have a real shark.
A source whose identity we no longer recognize. I agree. I am fascinated by the idea of throwing in this essentially kind of unknown presence with no real game experience into this all-star season that is generally comprised of a lot of people who went very far and have at least moderately sized reputations. Like, that as a thought experiment fascinates me. That being said, I would probably be pretty tilted if they threw some seemingly kind of random first boot in with an otherwise stellar Survivor all-star cast. So I don't even know what the general reaction to seeing David back has been, but I wouldn't be blown away if at least the people in the house are not thrilled about the idea of rewarding the guy who's basically never been through this before.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what a story in one sense, but also I think it actually comes down the way you're saying. Who is next to nominate?
I believe it is now on Kaz to nominate.
All right, let's go with Cody, and I'll start it at $1.
$2 on Cody. Sorry.
Oh, $2.50, excuse me.
$3 on Cody.
As well. $5.
$6 on Cody.
$8 on Cody.
I think $8 on Cody is going to be too much for me.
Okay, it's a little too rich for you. This one kind of surprised me, too. I had Cody in the same general orbit as people like Memphis, where I had them on my board, wanted to pick them up, didn't know how much I'd have to pay to get that. And I thought with Cody, I might have to pay a lot more, especially from you, Kaz. I recall you back in the early days, you and Colin going back and forth on which of Cody and Derek would win when it would come down to that final two. The consensus seemed to be that, you know, $500,000 mistake aside, for the first 99% of the game, Cody played expertly, and if he had just made the opposite decision after winning the final HOH, we're talking about him as one of the best winners of all time, and I don't think any one of us would disagree with that.
Yes, although if I believe I remember being the person who was saying Cody had the better chance against Eric. But to be fair, that was like week four.
Yeah, and I think we were definitely on that same page of these two guys had like 90% of the equity. I think I was on Derek's team, you were on Cody, and I think we even bet on it.
Yes, we did.
So, you know, who's got the chips, right? But, you know, the interesting thing with Cody for me is he's such a perfect fit as the week one HOH, where like to me he's the most like average, and not in a like he's an average player kind of way, but he's like so middle of the road with everything that I think he's the perfect guy to be in charge in week one. And he even said it on the show last night to Julie, I want to be the week one HOH and then just drop back and have people forget about me. So I think he's got the right idea. I think he's going to go pretty deep into this game. The issue I have with Cody is just, aside from the obvious mistake he made last time, I question whether he's learned anything from that. And I think he's somebody who naturally has a higher opinion of himself than others do. That doesn't mean that Cody is not somebody who shouldn't be respected, but it's the kind of thing where I could see him saying, oh yeah, I can beat Ian, I can beat Enzo, I can beat Kevin, and him being wrong again. Now, I don't want to say that I think he's going to come in second place again. I don't think that will happen, but I could see him getting into a final four, final five situation where he again makes a blunder or does not make the obvious to us move that is the correct equity positive decision. So I like him. Again, I much like Memphis for me, I think this is a good price. I came in here wanting to get at least one of Memphis, Cody, and Enzo, and I'm good with exactly one of them, but I do think Cody has equity to win this season. I think this is about the right price. I don't want to own him. And I think it's a good fit for your team where you've got two of the bros. So, Dom, I think you're in good shape there if that alliance goes deep, which it absolutely could.
Yeah. I've got three of the bros. Excuse you. I've got Tyler, I've got Memphis, got Cody. I've got the new crackpack all on my roster here. But word is, Cody is already potentially botching his first HOH. This failed hit on Janelle and Kaysa may not be going down so well. So maybe I should have waited, tried to drag out the bidding until the market fully dropped through the floor on Cody. But $8, I think, is a good price.
I hope we show up to whatever it is, Sunday night or whenever the safety comp airs, and we find out the contest was like Hurricane Howie trivia, and Janelle and Kaser just ran away with it.
I did see a joke that the competition is going to be verses from the Quran and the Minnesota housing market. Between the two of them, they've got it covered.
Yeah, so I definitely agree with what you're saying about Cody having equity. I was a big believer in Cody in the early days in BB16. I agree with whoever said that I have reservations about how much Cody has necessarily learned from his mistakes his first time around. That being said, the Cody type, as much as I may not be actively impressed by what he brings to the game or the TV show compared to most other reality TV contestants, there is no denying that the Cody type does extremely well in specifically Big Brother, and that's just impossible for me to shake. I feel like Cody is absolutely in there with equity, even recognizing it may come about, like a victory for him may come about in certain cases almost despite his own best efforts.
Yeah, the most overpowered types of player in Big Brother are any gay guy who can play remotely competently and guys like Cody.
Yes.
The two ends of that spectrum. If we ever have a gay guy built like Cody, it's over. Just sort of give them the check right there, right now. But guys like Cody have a very good track record on the show. Cody himself has an excellent track record for most of the show. And I'd like to think that after the humiliation he went through last time, that he'll have more of that killer instinct this time, if and when he does get to repeat that choice. But let's start to close this out here. We're in the home stretch. Let me throw Bailey into the mix for 50 cents.
$1.
$1.50.
$2.
Wow, okay. Is this, you just want to continue proving that you don't have a certain type, or what's going on here?
I believe in
redemption arcs.
The power of mathematics, Dom. I don't know what to tell you. For anyone not able to track the math along in their head as we've been nominating all these people over the course of, you know, 90 minutes plus at this point. The pot is currently at $127, according to my spreadsheet. So, yeah, I am in on Bailey at $2. Am I hearing any raises?
$2.50.
$3.
I'm going to ask a question mid-bidding here. What place did this woman come in?
No clue.
Okay, $3.50.
$4 on Bailey.
Wow.
All right, you can have her.
Okay.
Okay, can I say, as someone who seemingly knows more about Bailey than the two of you put together, I was confident I was going to get her for 50 cents, and I thought that would be a steal, because from what I've heard, she is remembered chiefly for the relationship with Swaggy. She's remembered for that blow-up towards Tyler. Not remembered as much as she maybe should be for seemingly being in a great place in the house until that point. And it sounds flippant to say, like, yeah, of course, everyone is playing a great game until they're not. But it sounds like Bailey does have some skill for the game that just, you know, obviously her meltdown curtailed that. But I think in this season, if she can keep it together, and I think this season might be better set up for her to keep it together, then, yeah, I think she's in there with a shot. Not a great one. She wouldn't be a high pick for me, but not the the freebie, apparently, that I was expecting you guys to view her as.
So my thought process on Bailey is as simple as this, and I did see her on the most recent season of The Challenge. Didn't really stand out to me too much one way or the other in terms of reasons to feel great or reasons to feel terrible about her on this season of Big Brother. So I am essentially viewing Bailey as a person who is not going to be seen as a big target anytime in the super early game, unless she goes out of her way to make that become the case, as far as I know. And again, this is not having seen her original season, and I do know there is some sort of conflict with her and Tyler, so maybe that could play into this not being an accurate representation. But I am thinking of Bailey at this point as one of the people who at least theoretically could have an easier time making it to the middle or early end game without getting on too many people's radars, and just having seen her first cast on The Challenge and then going, spoiler alert, very deep on a season of The Challenge, I do believe that whatever the end game competitions are, if there is some sort of physical element, there is reason to be believing in Bailey and a good end game competition run being at least slightly realistic is worth $4 to me based on how often I feel like she's going to have a chance to be deep in the game. So I certainly very willing to come back here having seen this season play out and feel very foolish about spending $4 on Bailey, but not nearly as foolish as I would potentially feel not going to $4 on Bailey in a spot where I feel like she's not going to be on anyone's target list other than maybe Tyler for at least the next few weeks. So, Kaz, do you know anything to speak of about Bailey here?
No, I didn't even realize that she was married to this Swaggy character until last night. So I could not have picked her out of a lineup of two people.
Okay. Any takeaways from the premiere on Bailey?
Nope, not really. She seemed like a typical Big Brother house guest to me.
Okay, that's all I want for my $4. That's exactly what I'm going for.
This Swaggy character is how we usually refer to Kaz in his absence. So I'm glad that a game who recognized game here. I think there is only one possible choice left to nominate. So we'll do that by default. Nicole Anthony, whose task is it to open the bidding here?
I believe it is my turn to open the bidding. So I will nominate Nicole Anthony for $50 on Dom's behalf. Any raisers?
What?
No, I will nominate.
I'll get a 60 on Dom's behalf.
Yeah. I will nominate Nicole Anthony for, let's see, the prize pool is currently at $131. I will nominate Nicole for $5. Wow.
I'm out.
Dom?
I'm tempted to jump in here, but you can have her. I like the idea of keeping my roster, you know, small, minimalist. I like that. Whereas yours is Kevin and then just a real motley crew of Big Brother legends and also not legends.
Okay, so I mean, I come in here again not having seen Nicole's original season, but knowing she has a huge amount of support online, so production interference value alone I feel like is worth the $5 in this case. I don't think I've heard her being mentioned as one of the people who's going to be on virtually anyone's kind of radar early on. I think she's the only, or I guess is David also from her season? I can't imagine they had much beef develop in the one day he was in the house there. Nicole to me feels like virtually exactly what I was just saying about Bailey, minus the faith in her competition prowess necessarily, although I wouldn't be blown away if you told me she won 5 competitions on her first season. I don't know. But I just feel very good about her prospects of being in the mid game and kind of early end game without much getting in the way to that point. So, Dom, what have you heard, if anything, about Nicole to this point, other than the unicorn emoji in so many people's Twitter names?
Absolute fan favorite. If she wins, couldn't hamster a nicer person. What a lot of the Big Brother universe seems to be hoping for. I am too, I suppose. Nothing against her from what I've seen so far. And from what I hear, she was certainly at least a capable player, not really someone who ever gained much traction within her season. Just socially was never really like with the in crowd, always was this scrappy underdog figure, which maybe is why she was so beloved. That's who the fans usually gravitate towards. But if this season gives her more room to play, then I think she'll grab that with both hands. I could see her doing good work alongside maybe someone like Ian, someone like Kevin. And yeah, I really hope that she gets to play the kind of season that she wanted to play the first time round, and maybe not pilot that all the way to a win. I want to pad my wallet here, but if she does, can't be too sad about it. So that brings us to the final order of events here. I will open the bidding at no winner at $3.
$5.
$7.
$8.
$10.
I'll go 11.
12.
It feels like by not bidding, I'm already putting too much faith in the US's ability to contain this crisis. So, you know, we have some decent indications of that already, and the signs are not good. So maybe I should be pumping this one up, but I'll leave you two to the bidding for now.
Yeah, so this is weird in that, like, equity-wise, I think it makes sense to bid, but there's something about having to bid on literally no one and then losing that. It just seems dirty to me, but I am going to go to 1250.
13.
All right, you can have nobody for $13.
Okay, so the total prize pool prior to that bid was $136. I essentially, to make this a smart purchase, the season would need to be canceled just under 10% of the time. Based on the way I have seen the United States handling this, and based on what we saw in BB Can during the early days of COVID, I feel extremely good about that price, and I feel like that is the easy steal of the draft based on what we know today.
And you're probably right, especially with the way things are changing even in the last few days. I guess the only reason that I have reservations is that they're locked in a house together. And, like, I know that's already canceled one season of Big Brother. I know they're in L.A., which is, like, one of the worst spots to be right now. But I don't know. For some reason, I think right around this price is pretty fair. And I don't know. I could just see them barreling through. Or if somebody, you know, God forbid, gets COVID in the house, I could see them just saying, okay, you've got to go, but we're still going to keep everybody going. So I don't know. I think you probably did pretty well here, and I don't know. It's such a weird thing to bid on, honestly.
Yeah, it is weird. Maybe could have voiced that objection either pre-game before I brought up this idea, or once again when we came on the air. But yeah, no, it is a weird thing to be bidding on. I just I feel like it is worth having in there, just given the sheer likelihood that this is the result we end up with.
Can I just point out the absurdity that we're bidding on an all-star season of 16 people, and 13 of them are priced lower than us not having a winner? That's what we think of these people.
This is the ultimate Matthew von Erfelder line. Is, do you have a greater chance to win than literally no outcome whatsoever?
Well, I feel like David was also an interesting person to have in there in terms of, do you have more equity than someone just entering essentially as a stranger?
I guess, well, I guess the question there is which stranger, and if it's David, I don't know. If it's someone else, maybe they would be in the mix. But that's a great note to end that draft on. I don't know if I'm rooting for no winner necessarily with all of that entails, but they have a good shot, and I hope to see them do well, make a deep run.
I am certainly not rooting for no winner. I just, first of all, didn't want to end up having this draft end in just no action because the season ends up getting canceled, and also did think it is, not something any of us is rooting for, obviously, but it is an interesting, I thought, just the thought experiment of gauging a betting like finding out what the market would land on in terms of how likely a Big Brother season is to play its way to completion, I thought would be just kind of an interesting hypothetical.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good thing. I'm very much in favor of it because this is not the first time we've had an issue at the end of our drafts. I believe Brad Culpepper went undrafted and then he almost won a season. So I think it's good that we put this rule in place.
Yes. All right. Well, there we have it. All 17 items off the board. I will do...
I almost feel like that should have been the charity option. Like, if it's a push because there's no winner, then we could send the prize pool to one of the many clinics that will be sorely in need of funds and support if the pandemic truly is in that state again.
Well, once again, Dom, something that maybe could have been voiced during the pre-show meeting when I flagged up this idea and asked for feedback.
Only just occurred to me. You know, it takes me a while to get into that generous spirit.
Now, I hope it occurred to you earlier and you just wanted to make me look like a dick on air. Anyway.
I said, I am not good enough of Big Brother to spring that upon you.
Could be argued that I'm making myself look like a dick on air, but I choose to blame Dom instead. Let me quickly recap these teams, just because that seems like something people do at the end of draft podcasts. We finished with a total of $149 in the prize pool. 43 of that is from Dom's team. He has Tyler, Nicole Franzel, Memphis, and Cody. Dom, you feeling good about that team for $43 to win $149?
I love my squad. Yeah, I think of my top six or seven picks, I have four of them. You know, I would have paid good money for Ian. I was trying to pay good money for Kevin. Didn't want to pay quite that much. And may still live to regret that. We all agree that he's our winner pick. But looking at my roster, I think Tyler, Nicole, Memphis, Cody are all heavy hitters in this class. I think they all have a great chance of taking it down.
Yeah. All right. So, Kaz, you are in for $46.50 to win $149. You came away with Ian, Enzo, Christmas, Kaser, Devon, and David. You liking that price?
I guess. It seems about right for what I was hoping for coming into this. Somehow I drafted six people and I don't know who three of them are, so maybe that gives me a rooting interest in this season. But yeah, I think it's fine. I'm not excited about it, not angry with it. It seems just about right.
Okay, and then I am in for $59.50 to win $149. I got Danielle, Janelle, Keisha, Kevin, Bailey, Nicole Anthony. That is her last name, right, I believe. And also, no winner. So, going to be feeling good about my team, at least for the time being. I like pretty much all of the prices that I got. May have overspent a little bit for Kevin, but certainly money I am happy to part with just to have him on the squad. So, I think that is going to basically wrap us up for today. Kaz, please let the people know where they can be finding you on Twitter if they want to flame you for your team draft picks and comments along the way.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at IamTheKaz. I'm not a big tweeter these days, but I may do a little bit of it for this season, depending on how Ian does. I'm a big sports fan, baseball guy, so I may be tweeting about that, but I don't know. You can follow me if you want. It's not a priority for anybody. So I think you guys have heard me on this podcast 1,000 times. If you're not following me by now, you probably shouldn't anyway.
Okay, well, you absolutely should follow me. It should be a priority for all of you. That's at DomHRV, or you can find me this season watching the live feed. So definitely chat with me about all of that. We'll be getting to that after we hang up here. There's a lot going on even as we speak. But yeah, this was a lot of fun, as always, gents, and looking forward to seeing how all of this plays out.
Yes, and I am on Twitter at Colin Stone. Thank you guys who have made it all the way through this whole ordeal. We will be back, at least for the time being, in terms of covering Big Brother 22 every so often, probably about once every week or so, for as long as it stays good. But at this hour, I am anticipating that this season should be maintaining our interest for at least a while. And honestly, if I had to call it right now, maybe this will age horribly. I have a very hard time seeing how, even as bad as the TV episodes may be, I'm going to lose my interest in a cast like this. So great times going through this whole group with you guys. And I think that is going to be the end of this. So until next time, enjoy these early weeks of the live feeds. It really does feel to me like being a live feed viewer in the year 2020, especially when it's like socially conscious to just stay inside all day, may genuinely be like the pinnacle of being a Big Brother fan for me of my entire life, which I cannot believe I am saying after all of what has gone down with the franchise over these last couple of years. But hopefully we can keep the good times going and all stay into it. That is going to do it for us here. Thank you guys one last time for making this far. We will talk to you soon. Take care, everybody.